It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Cheers! Whoa, bing bong, high low, low high, hello, anchor drop, okay, lemon, lime, cherry pie,
shh, she's sleeping.
Who's sleeping?
She's very, very tired. Oh!
Morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, May 10th, 2024. This is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, still wearing a hat, it's Tass Mellis.
It's part of the uniform. Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, Matasha Hotboy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo.
Ayo. And over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team live on YouTube. Hit the like button, subscribe. Podcast listeners, leave us a five-star rating and review, and you might find yourself on the next five-star Friday Fun. We got that coming up later in the show.
We do.
Good reviews coming from you people. We're also going to discuss the latest coaching carousel. Got one guy in, one guy out. We'll get to that. And we got rapid-fire fun. But we had two games on last night, and we now have two series. 1-1. Let's start in the Western Conference, because we had Luka scoring 29 as the Mavs topped the Thunder 119-110, and again, tying up this series at one game apiece. Your thoughts?
This is why we watch the games, because after game one, everybody said, well, this is OKC series, they look great. Luka does not look great. Then there was that report that some of his teammates prefer when he goes to the bench, that they breathe a sigh of relief. And if I'm Howard Beck and I get that from an associate coach, I also publish that. But all that stuff doesn't matter. Whatever happened in game one doesn't matter. There are eight teams left, and we are watching clearly one of the eight best players in the league in Luka Doncic. And this wasn't a 40-point game. This wasn't a clear dominance by Luka, but it was Luka being that guy where his role players and those guys coming off the bench had to be good. And those were the performances that really got them over the top. Obviously, Tim Hardaway, who ended this game. Very, very surprising that he closed this game. Tim Hardaway, nobody knew that was coming. Josh Green, who looked like Pat Connaughton from the Milwaukee Bucks when they won the 2021 championship with those baseline cuts and those offensive rebounds. And a huge, huge performance from P.J. Washington.
Hold on. Let's start up the Chevy tracks.
Jason Kidd getting him involved in the post early really changed the way their offense looked. That was really smart. Instead of doing the classic thing with Luka and Kyrie outside, Kyrie scored 9 points. He had 7 points before garbage time, really, before they had to go to the intentional fouls. Just wild that they got all those performances. And listen, OKC was good. OKC was really good. In this arena with all the blue shirts, it was really fun early in the fourth quarter when Jalen Williams had that putback dunk. It's only a four-point game.
Yeah.
And then Luka again. Looks like he gets hurt, gets his ankle stepped on. He's hobbling, but the Mavs are able to score again. He is still clearly not right. I know he hit threes in this game, but he's clearly hobbling around, so he has a 29-point performance. And they have a great game just because all those role players, it looks like, you know, that conference finals team for this Dallas Mavericks. When they went to the conference finals and all the role players played well behind Luka, it is like that where – yeah, maybe you don't think P.J. Washington all that good. I didn't at the trade deadline, or Daniel Gafford, or Tim Hardaway, or Josh Green, but they get enough, and they do it.
But Luka really set the tone in this game. After his face bounced off the floor.
His face set the tone.
He finished with 29 points, 10 boards, 7 assists, 11 of 21 from the field. But yeah, he's got like this sprained right knee, he's got a bloody left knee, and his face bounces off the floor early. But he hit his first three shots. He scored 8 points there in the first 3 minutes. He had 16 points at the end of the first quarter, 6 of 8 shooting. And then maybe because they changed up how they were going to guard him a little bit, it did open up things for a lot of these other guys. But he came out there. It was a desperate Mavericks team, and they played like it, like they had done against the Clippers after losing that game one.
Yeah, Luka's only ever hurt on defense. As soon as he touches the ball, he heals immediately, yeah. Believe it or not. But yeah, they came out. They were great. 12 threes in the first half for the Mavericks as well. I thought Luka got the exact same shots he did as he did in game one. He just made these ones. The torture chamber was empty. He can't really guard Luka, but he can make it tough sometimes. And then you get the support players hitting threes. Tim Hardaway Jr. having his best game of the playoffs so far.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was kind of out of the rotation down the stretch for the Mavericks. He was hurt for a little bit there, came back. He was really good. Obviously, PJ Washington was great. And yes, the Mavericks offense, sometimes we forget. Yeah, they're great. The second half of the season, once they made the trades, the defense really kicked in. They became a much more balanced team, but this is a team that can put up points in a hurry. They only got 9 from Kyrie Irving, 2 for 8 from the field. But this is an incredible performance from this guy. He's changed the way he's playing right now. We'll see him score 20 points and a half in the first series against the Clippers. But last night, 2 for 8, like I said, but 11 assists for Kyrie Irving, pushing the pace, getting off the ball really fast. And the defense is incredible right now.
Yeah.
2 steals, 2 blocks for Kyrie. He's in everybody's shorts. He's ripping Chet Holmgren out on the perimeter, taking it coast to coast for a layup. Everybody on the Mavs team feels they can win this series. They're completely bought in. They feel like they are a competitive championship quality team right now. And you could tell the way they were playing last night, hitting 18 threes. You got Luka and Kyrie talking trash to fans sitting in the stands for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and apparently Kyler Murray as well. He was there. I guess he's a Thunder fan as an Oklahoma guy. I wouldn't necessarily want to get either of those guys fired up.
Yeah. I mean, and of the 11 assists that Kyrie have, I think 5 of them were 2 3-point shooters. You talked about, like, yeah, the defense leading to offense, him touching paint and then kicking out and everybody hitting them. PJ, Luka, Josh Green, and Tim Hardaway Jr. combining for 17 three-pointers on 28 attempts, 61% from deep. So yeah, that allows you to get a victory on the road despite your other superstar in Kyrie having a quiet game. Scoring the ball, he's just doing everything else.
Super quiet.
Yeah.
And even the 2 steals and the 2 blocks, great on the box score, but it doesn't do it justice how much he was working on the perimeter, getting up into guys, stealing awesome, like, these passes from Giddy. He was just pushing OKC's offense back. Who had a better Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in this one, which is the shocking thing to say. Shai was better. 33 points from him. He just looked way more comfortable. I mean, he looked comfortable in game one, but he was scoring better in this one. And Jalen Williams also had a 20-point game. But yeah, the Mavs role players fell in line. And I didn't know what was going to happen after, you know, Jason Kidd got the extension and they had a bad game one, which Jason Kidd's teams always have a bad game one. But going to PJ Washington had to have helped early to just change the way the geometry is for that team going into the post and how the offense looked. And then he was phenomenal, obviously, hitting 7 threes. But he got on a roll. And you just need one guy to help out those other two guys. But it is crazy when you look at Kyrie's box score to say. I mean, he really had 7 points before he had 2 intentional free throws at the end. It is phenomenal that they win this game.
Yeah. I was like, even watching the game, you know, they get off to the hot start. They can't miss threes. You know, Luke is doing his thing early. He starts to cool down, though. But they have a nice, comfortable lead. And then, man, the Thunder can get back in the game in a hurry. And they did it, like, twice, really, in this game. They did it in the third quarter, but the Mavericks had an answer. That was, like, the Tim Hardaway Jr. show there, where he scored, like, 10 points in a minute. And then you said it, Tass, after the J-Dub dunk, when he cleaned up, I guess it was Wallace's missed layup attempt. You know, they're right back in this game. The place is going crazy. And I'm thinking again, like, oh, no, man. Like, they're gonna win this game.
Right.
Like, this has been a good Dallas Mavericks game, but they haven't separated themselves enough. But then they had an answer again. So really, really impressive that every time in that building where OKC was starting to get stops and they were scoring, the Mavericks just, like, you know, took it to another level and then got the lead back. And as it turned into, like, a bit of an easy win in the end. I forget who hit that corner three that really iced it. Was that Tim Hardaway
Kyrie
Jr.?
Hit
Kyrie
hit one,
yeah.
And Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yeah, both
hit him. Shai was good. Only took 6 free throws, though, so I think a really good job by the Mavericks keeping him off the line. He took, what, 11 in the first half of game one, only 2 in the second half. So Mavs are doing a lot better job of defending without fouling, though he did have 33, but a couple of straight up botches from Shai, I thought, in the fourth quarter of this one. That inbounds play where he, like, comes over to talk to whoever standing underneath the basket. Easy entry to PJ Washington
back
for a
door
dunk.
Cut.
And then he got put under the basket for an and one as well in the fourth quarter. The defense just wasn't nearly as good for the Thunder. They forced 15 turnovers in game one, only 10 in this one. So the Mavericks really cleaned up all of the lack of attention to detail that they had in game one.
Yeah, that's right. Offensively, I mean, OKC's generally going to be happy with 110 points because in the five prior games in this postseason, they gave up 92, 92, 85, 89, and 95. So then Dallas explodes for 119. That's where the game was won and lost, and a big part of it was, yeah, three-point shooting. Everybody was knocking them down.
One move that Mark Daigneault made going into the second half was sitting Josh Giddey.
He didn't start
the second half, and I know you went through every sequence in the first game where Josh sat down, and that's when OKC got hot. Do you think there's a possibility that they sit Josh for game three?
Yes.
The start of the game.
Yeah, they went on a 13-4 run when he wasn't out there at the start of the third quarter. He's not doing anything. Minus 20 last night. He's played 28 minutes so far in this series. He's a minus 27. They don't guard him.
This is true.
And he doesn't guard on the other end. It's not like Giddey's bringing anything else if he's not hitting wide open threes. And even if they are, it's like, fine, we're going to live with him shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think he starts game three. I hear all the problems with him because he's not comfortable shooting the three ball. That's a problem. I do think he comes back for a few reasons. Just because the team is young, and I don't think you would necessarily just want to throw that switch up in the beginning of a game. He's also way better at threes on the road. Somehow. I don't know how that happens, but in the first round, he stunk at home shooting threes, and then he went on to New Orleans, four threes in games three and games four. And that's about it.
It's not like OKC and Mark Daigneault have not done this before either. Like at the start of a second half, taking a guy out of the starting lineup. So it's not. But Trey, I mean, you pointed it out after game one, and wisely so, because we saw it again. They have played better when he's not out there. The other part of it is Wiggins is really good and obviously gives you a lot of energy and can shoot. So you got to stay a little more honest with him.
He's smaller, though. That's the problem. He is a little bit smaller. So the rebounding, which is a problem for the OKC, just the way they're lined up. I mean, Jalen Williams was the guy who came off the bench for him at the beginning because he's big. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're looking at. So that's the small issue if you play Aaron Wiggins, who does everything. It's just a size thing as well.
Yeah. But you think they'll stick with the starting lineup for game three?
Yeah, Giddey. Let's start him. He can play 15 minutes in a game.
I don't think he can.
Well, he couldn't last night.
He hasn't been able to play any minutes so far in this series.
Yeah.
What is Giddey bringing to the table for the Thunder?
In this series, nothing. Except, I mean, Trey Itas is, I guess, the hope that, like in the Pelican series, he finds his three-point shot, lets it go. Yeah, that's it. But you make that decision early in game three.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, so far, not so good. He should be able to push the ball a little bit, but the Mavs were doing really well getting back in defense. He should be able to rebound like he can. He had five boards in the first game. But I think it's also just, hey, this is who we are. This is what we did. I mean, yes, you could.
They've got a deep enough team that they don't need to play Giddey.
That's the thing.
They've got so many guys that can play. Nobody plays 9 guys in the playoffs. Nobody does.
Right.
They play 8, maybe 7. Mm-hmm. Some teams play 6.
Yeah.
Giddey doesn't have to be part of the 9 this time.
Right. Right.
Maybe the next series.
Yeah. He's definitely not closing games. That's for sure. They have enough guys to do that. I just think it's keeping the old thing that got us here. But yeah, he's playing less. And we knew that even the idea of Gordon Hayward at the beginning when they made the trade, if he's good enough, he could be the better Giddey. It's either Aaron Wiggins, I assume, would be the guy.
Yeah. He's played well. He played hard, and he seems to be giving him a lot more and fitting better when he's out there than Giddey is, for sure. What do you think of Derek Lively's game in this one? I thought offensively pretty horrendous. He was missing bunny after bunny, 1 of 7, basically on all layup attempts, so he just could not get that thing to drop inside. Nearly injured his own guy there on a dunk attempt, Derek Jones Jr. too. But as a rook, I thought he was really good on the other end, did a good job boxing out. He only got credited, I guess, with 1 block and 0 steals, but it felt like he was altering more shots than that and sort of like cutting off passing angles and just being a nuisance on that floor. I thought he played really good, and plus 18 shows that he was like obviously helping the team.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty bad in game one, and he was much better here.
Yeah.
In game two, him and Daniel Gafford really took Chet out of the game. 4 turnovers for Chet. He didn't really seem to ever get in a flow. 1 for 6 from the three-point line, so he's not making it back in the bet that the Thunder like to talk about, where like, yeah, we're going to give up rebounds, but we're going to hit threes on the other side. Chet was just completely out of sorts. Mm-hmm. I thought in this one, falling down a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. He just wasn't a great game for Chet Holmgren.
He had the one cool play at the end of the first quarter.
That was awesome.
That was amazing. Yeah.
Great catch, great shot. It was like Christian Laettner to the max out there. But he got crushed on the glass in this one.
Yeah, his only three belongs in sports science. The way he caught...
this guy loves sports science.
Come on. And that was a 60-foot bomb of a pass for a 7-footer to catch it.
It was like Odell Beckham Jr. style. Cool. Yeah.
And that was his only three of the game.
Yeah, it was
which
like the only thing
odd.
He did.
Yeah, it was like odd. And Gafford hurt his hand, but... Yeah, we saw a different Derek Lively in this game, that's for sure. And all the role players just saw Luka be better and started to follow his lead. And that's what best players do in this league.
True.
You know, we'll see the Boston Celtics. We'll talk about the Boston Celtics. When your leaders don't play like that, it's hard to follow. That's the recipe, that's for sure. Also, another great play. I mean, we can go through a billion sports science plays, but that Luka passed from... It was like the sideline to Derrick Jones Jr. for that alley-oop.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was awesome, too. Yep. That was fairly long. I mean, the airplane, whatever you call that guy. I don't think Derrick Jones Jr. has a really good nickname.
Yeah, they call him airplane. Yeah.
Just airplane mode.
Airplane mode.
Airplane
yeah.
mode. Yeah. I guess that's fine.
Airplane Jones sometimes you hear, too.
There's flight 50.
Guy could soar, man. It's awesome. Yeah.
That part's good.
He looks like he got hurt. In the second half, too.
Yeah.
Like he came down, he was limping back and forth, and then he caught another alley-oop, so.
Flight 55, I think, is his other nickname. He's got, yeah, Flight 55.
Nice.
Yeah, that's not bad. Anyway, I can see a video, obviously, if, you know, make some sort of flight.
Well, Luka also had, like, the soccer throw-in lob earlier in the game. I forget who that one was to, maybe to Gafford or Lively. Yeah, there was a couple lobs, obviously. The Mavs were hitting threes and finding the roll guys and throwing it down. So good game, great bounce back. I think a lot of people are excited that this is 1-1. We thought this series would probably be long. Looks like it's going to head that way. I don't think, like, you know, OKC, there's some issues and we'll find out what they do with Giddey and all that. But it wasn't like, oh, they got destroyed. Like, they were, oh, what happened to them? No, not at all. Like, they were hanging around. I couldn't believe they're still in the game. And again, I thought they were going to, like, take this. But Dallas, always, when they got right back into the game, OKC, they just took control again. Because there was that stretch there in the fourth quarter, even. The Thunder hit one shot. I think it was an SGA reverse layup. They went 1-for-11 in, like, a four-minute stretch. And that sort of, like, was the game in the end. Any other notes from Thunder Mavs? I blew Nora's mind last night when I told her. I know, okay, get your dirty thoughts out of your head there. I blew her mind when I told her Hubie Brown is 90 years old.
Yeah. I thought maybe you were...
We don't make a big enough deal out of this.
No, I know.
This is
know.
Crazy when you think about it.
He should be retired.
Why is he working?
He's still working. Because he's still good.
I know.
When Richard Deitch posted that article about Hubie Brown being 92, right? Is he 92?
No, he's 90. He's 90. He turns 90. 91 in September, I believe.
I don't know why I think he's 92. He's turning 90.
He seems like he's 92. I agree. I thought he was that old last night, too.
He's been doing the broadcasting for 40 years, right?
He's seen every basketball game
ever. He's gone back and coached every now and then. He's seen every NBA season.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And like, is
he knows what Bob Pettit looked like.
Yeah.
He's like, Bob Pettit. People forget he was a bucket. People literally
and
do.
We have
not
to
me.
Agree. Yeah.
I believe you.
It's crazy. I don't know. He's 90 and he's like traveling around. He's staying up late. Like, this is late for me watching these games.
Yeah, this game ended like, what, like 12:30 Eastern time? That's 11:30 Central?
Jeez. Doing
it. It's amazing.
You want sports science. Sports science Hubie Brown, man. What is going on with this guy?
Yeah, I know. When I saw that article, I honestly didn't believe it. I thought, wow, this is amazing. This is phenomenal stuff. When you said you blew Nora's mind, I thought you were the one with the audio of that video that Luka Doncic heard? What's that?
Was somebody, what was going
on? That
was
yours.
Was somebody pumping in porn?
Oh, it sure sounds like it.
Yeah, it's a very funny moment.
I could get kicked out of Oklahoma, I think.
Out of
they
the
don't
state.
Allow that.
Get out.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Spring has sprung. And spring is the best time of year to take a look at your fitness routine, dial it up a notch, and continue powering on. reminds me of that scene in Rocky III when Apollo Creed is training Rocky to face Clubber Lang. Remember that? What does Apollo do? He puts Rocky in the pool. He makes him run on the beach. He makes him dance. Why? To strengthen muscles he never even knew he had. That's me on my Peloton. I'm not just riding it anymore. Sure, I'll jump on a 30-minute ride with the Cadence King, Dennis Morton. But now I'm lifting weights. I'm working on my core. And sometimes I'm doing all of the above in a boot camp. Point is, you can personalize your workout. Whether you add a 10-minute core session at the end of your metrics-focused class or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance, Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. And there's a variety of classes like boxing, boot camps, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you already excel in. And hey, is this new? Work out while you watch with NBA League Pass on Peloton. That's pretty cool. Watch your favorite games and win your workouts with NBA League Pass on Peloton and visit onepeloton.com. Peloton All Access membership and NBA League Pass subscription required.
All right, let's keep it going here. Let's go to the first game from last night. The shocking result, maybe not, because the Celtics love a playoff stinker. But Donovan Mitchell, 29 points to help the Cavs blow out the Celtics, 118-94. Trey, quiet first half from Donovan Mitchell, 6 shots, 6 points. But then to quote him, when it was time to go, it was time to go. And he went off. 16 points in the third quarter. Three straight baskets to start the fourth.
It was like KO Pectate,
Dad. Yeah, for sure.
It's time to go. It's
and he,
time to
he,
go.
Like, he picked it up there in the third quarter.
The floodgates opened in the third quarter there. Mitchell was killing him in pick and roll. The Celtics had no possible coverage that would work on Donovan Mitchell, I thought, in the second half. And I thought it was pretty smart the way Cleveland played things the entire night. They crushed inside in the first half. 36 of their 60 points in the paint came in the first half. Then they opened things up in the second half, especially in the third quarter. They hit 7 threes, and I thought Mitchell was a huge part of that. It was like, if they're playing a soft drop coverage, I'm pulling up, hitting a three in your face. If you're going to try and trap me, we can find somebody and move the ball.
Yep.
If you're going to give me a driving lane, I'm going to get to the hoop and create an incredible shot inside. He had that awesome crossover on Jaylen Brown coming up the left wing. Then he like Euros around Al Horford to finish at the hoop. Mitchell is a great playoff player. He's a guy that is happy to take on all of the responsibility of handling the ball. I just thought he was phenomenal in this game. And then on the flip side, the Cavs played pretty solid defense, really limiting the Celtics' three-point attempts. They gave up 46 looks at three in game one, only 35 in game two, and it just felt like they were selling out to run the Celtics off the three-point line. Say, take any two-pointer you want. We will live with that. Then the three-pointers the Celtics actually did get, 8 for 35. I think it's their second worst shooting night of the season.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and this is a team that led the league in makes from deep, attempts, finished second overall in percentage. Like, this is their offensive weapon, the Celtics, the three-point shot. If you can take that away, if you can limit it, attempts, and obviously makes, if you can have a part in that as well, then you have a good chance to beat them, because 8 for 35 is generally not going to cut it in a postseason game, not when the other team's doing a bit better.
No, it is not going to do it. I do think they just weren't attacking as much. They're sort of just looking for mismatches instead of going. Like, what comes first, the attack or looking for mismatches? And so they look for mismatches, and they just, it kind of slows you down instead of attacking everything, because everything is almost a mismatch in this matchup. And you do that, and then it trickles down. It's a trickle-down effect to the three-point makes, I do think. The second half was won by 24 points for the Cavs, and it was 8 more threes made. So it's the math. If you're 8 times 3, I mean, that's what happened. They made 10, Boston made 2. So was it just math, or was it just Boston not running their offense quicker and getting more into it, being the old Boston team that you say every year, Trey, Boston's not going to win a game in this series just because they're going to be Boston. And I think that's what it was. I mean, they kind of felt like...
like everybody picked Celtics in five, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody thought this game would happen.
Yes.
And it always happens.
And one of them...
it always happens.
One of them does.
Yeah. And they're going to win the next three, no problem.
Probably.
Yep.
And it's what Steve Kerr used to say. It's that you win game one, game two is that team that the road team can take, because you kind of get a little flat.
Yeah.
And that's what they were. And so, yes, the Cavs definitely played better. They sensed it, especially going into the locker room. Oh, crap. We're playing good. but the other team, the Boston Celtics, should have been feeling in the other locker room, damn, that team is going to come out and play hard.
Right, right.
And they did not.
We can basically put the series away in the second half here.
Yeah.
You know, to some extent, because we're so much better. But
yeah, or in the first half.
The opposite happened.
I mean, they started fine, but they weren't playing the same way. The defensive flubs that they had over and over and over again, where they miscommunicated, where they weren't taking the guy who's starting the pick and roll or rolling. I mean, they were brain farts, it felt like. Mm-hmm. And this is a championship team. I say championship. They haven't won one yet.
No.
And after this, you kind of feel like, is it going to be the team? And like they went to the finals and all that. I don't know. It sure feels like it's going to be a 5-game series. And then they'll be in the conference.
I almost talked myself into Celtics in six, because I think the way Mitchell has proven that he's the best player right now in this series, and you know, he had a good game, but he probably still has a better game even in him, maybe at home, maybe not. I'm leaning more towards Celtics in six. I think they're going to win this thing like everybody else, but this was bad. Evan Mobley, best playoff game of his career. I don't think that's a stretch to say. 21 points, 10 boards, 5 assists, 2 blocks, 9 of 15 shooting. He was a big part of Trey, like you said, all those points in the paint. That's where a lot of his were coming, yeah. Though he did hit a 3 at the top of the break there. He was just great. He was looking at the rim, like we were saying in game 1. Like, you're getting it, man. Like, you're tall. You're lanky. I mean, you're faster than when Al Horford's on you. Sorry, he's a great defender, but you should be able to use your athleticism and speed a little bit. And I just thought he played a great, great game and was a big part. So was Caris LeVert. So was Garland.
LeVert
played better.
Was awesome.
Yeah, they're main 4 guys. Like, they maybe had the 4 best players last night.
Yeah.
Overall, and, in the game.
And guys, like Mobley, got better as the game went on because Boston had a brain fart in the beginning. I just think that, you know, they weren't asserting themselves. So, you know, the Cavs can sense it. I mean, they felt a lot better in this game. Thoughts on Derek White, who you guys compared to Ray Allen after
yeah.
game 1?
Given the old jinx on that one, didn't we?
I don't know. Ray's done this before.
That's true. Right? All the great shooters have some rough nights. Yeah, you're right.
So he went from 7 of 12 in game 1 to 1 of 8 in game 2. I went through the Ray Allen stats. He's done this before in the playoffs.
Okay.
He against the Lakers in the finals, he had an 8 of 11. But it was a great game.
Yep.
11 of 20 from the floor, 8 of 11 from 3. Then the next game, didn't hit a 3. Mm. 0 of 8 and 0 of 13 from the floor.
Holy crap.
Yeah, remember that one? We do remember. We were talking, was something wrong with Ray Allen in the finals against the Lakers that year? It was a fun finals.
Oh.
Although, you know,
well,
Lakers won it. But even still, there's lots of... I went through all his stats. There's some offers where he follows it up with a good one, so maybe game 3 will be good. Ray does this. He could still be Ray Allen.
Okay. It was a little tongue-in-cheek that Derek White is Ray Allen, but yes, point taken.
Okay, 8 for 20 to start the series. That's 40%.
Still lights out.
Ray numbers.
Yeah.
But they did not have a good game, of course, Derek White. I thought Drew Holiday was sort of non-existent in this one as well. And Tatum. Let's talk Tatum here a little bit. He's quiet. He is not doing a whole lot offensively, scoring the ball in the postseason. He's averaging under 22 points. His splits are basically 40, 27, and 81. You don't love to see the 40 there. You don't love to see under 30 from deep. He has only shot 50% or better one time in this postseason so far. He's leading the team in rebounds. He's leading the team in assists. He's leading the team in blocks, I believe. He's doing all the other things. But, you're going to want to see a Tatum sort of breakout here, I think. Maybe not in this series. Maybe it won't even have to happen. But obviously, moving forward, that's going to happen. What are you seeing from Tatum so far in the postseason?
He's getting locked down by Max Strus.
Mm.
Max Strus is playing really solid defense. Nothing is coming easy for Jason Tatum. He did go to the free throw line 11 times. Love to see that, because one of the biggest criticisms for Tatum is he just wants to take a step back 3. Mm-hmm. And he does just want to take a step back 3 for the most part, or a weird fall away. They just need him inside. The guy's 6'10". He should be inside trying to score on Max Strus, and I assume that will happen going forward because the Celtics will just give a better effort, man. Like, this was the exact same game as game 2 against the Heat. It was the exact same. But guess what? Donovan Mitchell is Tyler Hero in this one. Mm-hmm. Tyler Hero had an awesome game 2. He didn't do anything the rest of the series after that. Mitchell's a way better player, but the Celtics just need to lock in, and they need to shoot better than 23% from 3.
It was just an odd game from the Celtics. I guess it's not that odd. It is similar to the Miami Heat, but it was odd seeing some things like Jason Tatum. You remind me of a third quarter play where Evan Mobley comes out to him, so he's got the quick advantage. He goes right by him, gets to the rim, and then just kind of stops. It looked like an awkward release. He I guess, thought that Evan Mobley was right behind him, but he just let go of the ball and missed. And there was no reason to miss. And then somehow this Cavs, just because they have this confidence, Okoro goes the other way, dunk. Next possession, Jaylen Brown gets Evan Mobley in the exact same position. He has the quick advantage. He went right by him, and instead of going to the hoop, he kind of just jumped in the air to get contact from Evan Mobley. Missed the shot. So it was just, and then the Cavs pushed again because they have the confidence. Mobley, alley-oop. It just didn't look like a very good basketball team when you started watching them.
That's the thing. When you catch the Celtics on the wrong night, you're like, what? How the hell is this a championship contender? You're like, they look nothing like it. When you see these games and they have these weird duds in a lot of their series, you know, going back seasons now with this sort of core, the Jays as their lead guy. It happens, but you got to win 4 out of the 7, and they more times than not do in most of the series. So, yeah, they will, I'm sure, look a lot better there in Game 3 on Saturday?
Yeah.
Saturday.
So ABC.
The Celtics like to lose at home. 14-14 in their last 28 playoff games in Boston over the last 3 seasons.
Very strange.
Bonkers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
That is weird.
Also, a wild stat I saw, the Cavaliers' 24-point margin was the largest playoff win by a double-digit underdog since 1991. So they're coming in as a huge dog in this game. Everybody expecting the Celtics to roll once again, and they win by 24, and apparently that hasn't been done since 1991, thanks to ESPN Stats and Info for that one. Any other notes on Celtics-Cavs? No? Okay, let's get to some news.
You like Porzingis' jacket?
I mean, I do like the jacket, yeah.
You think it's a team-issued jacket? Everybody on the Celtics has one of those green bombers?
That's interesting. I mean, I think you could ask for one.
Yeah, you think he bought that at the team shop?
Maybe.
Like, I guess I'm out. I need some fits on the sideline.
That's possible. Yeah, it's a nice jacket.
You don't usually see team stuff by a guy who's resting.
No, not a jacket like that. It's a good point. Yeah. All right, we had some news yesterday. The Phoenix Suns fired head coach Frank Vogel 11 days after the team was swept out of the postseason's first round by the Wolves. Quote, after a thoughtful review of the season, we concluded that we needed a different head coach for our team. This is Suns GM James Jones saying in a statement, we appreciate Frank's hard work and commitment. See you later, Frank. After a thoughtful review of the season. And very thoughtful. 11 days, is that thoughtful enough? I guess it was.
Yeah, I've been about it for 11 days.
It was 11 days.
Yeah, I'm just trying
crazy
to do the math.
Say?
Because it was 7 days ago we talked about Matt Ishbia's press conference.
That's right. And that came a couple days after they had been bounced. Yep.
That was 7. And he said, the house is not on fire. Ask 26 teams around the league. They would want our roster. But I guess they wouldn't want our coach.
They wouldn't want our coach.
Yeah.
And we can't do anything with our roster, basically, unless we really blow it up. So. Yep. Frank Vogel is the fall guy. This is not a surprise. TK, you thought this would happen. A lot of people did. And now it's where do they go from here? I guess Mike Budenholzer is the guy they're maybe eyeing most. It seems to be at the top of their wants when it comes to a coach. What do you think?
Yeah, actually, Shams is reporting just now the Phoenix Suns plan to hire Mike Budenholzer as their head coach on a deal expected to approach 8 figures per year. He's also a Holbrook, Arizona native.
Okay.
Where's that? I don't know. Probably by Holbrook. Phoenix. Holbrook. But yeah, shout out to Ryan Gosling. Somebody's got to be the fall guy.
That's right.
And it's Frank in this one because where there's smoke, there's fire. Like, literally, as soon as the Suns were swept out of the playoffs, it was rumblings that there was discontent, that they weren't happy, that they were laughing at him for trying to get angry, that they're rolling their eyes at him. And he's saying, I want a point guard. They're saying, we got us. You don't need a point guard. So now they're bringing in Mike Budenholzer, which is very strange to me because I saw Doug Holler writing for The Athletic. He said, Vogel didn't have much of a chance. He was a defensive-minded coach with an offensive-minded roster. Roster's the same.
So, yeah.
I remember Mike Budenholzer as a coach. Wasn't that long ago. He was known as a defensive-minded head coach. So I don't know what they're going to change here.
Right. Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do with the roster because Vogel is, he's taking one for the team here, taking one for the franchise, because what else is he supposed to do? What did he not do? And I think, according to all reports, he just didn't have the locker room, as you said.
Yeah.
Maybe he wasn't vocal enough. Wasn't Frank vocal enough? He just didn't have the locker room altogether. And when you bring up Budenholzer, doesn't seem to be a characteristic of that guy.
Yeah, it seems really similar, the two guys. I'm with you. Yeah,
so he just took it. I mean, yes, they don't have a defensive roster. They had Josh Okogie. They went and got Royce O'Neal. Okay, they were a mediocre defensive team. That's exactly what they should be. They don't have a point guard. Their point guard didn't play until 2024, really. Most of the time was in 2024 for Bradley Beal. So they started a little slowly, but the team was a top 10 offense. That's not bad.
No,
I don't think it wasn't bad.
They were garbage in the fourth quarter. Yeah. That was always perplexing.
Sure.
With that much talent. It's like, weren't they the worst in the fourth quarter?
Well, yeah, the Timberwolves, who might be the friggin' NBA champions, were also very bad in the fourth quarter.
True. Fair enough.
This team was 27-22 against plus 500 teams. That's pretty freaking good.
Yeah, they won 49 games in a season where there was a lot of like guys in and out, and they didn't have a lot of consistency with their big three. I mean, look, he's definitely the fall guy.
Oh, he is.
For
the fall
sure.
guy.
He's not a bad coach. I'm not going to cry too much for him. I think he's still got about $25 million coming his way. Yeah. He signed a 5-year, $31 million deal.
Yeah.
He's only there 1 year. So, you know, do the math. He's good. He's okay. But, I mean, well, it's up to Durant and Booker and obviously Beal. Like, they make it seem like it doesn't matter who's coaching us. I mean, that's sort of their approach. That's been sort of Durant's MO.
Definitely.
Well, maybe it does, first off, because you haven't had a lot of success without, you know, Steve Kerr and Steph Curry and that team, but you know, he's gone through a lot of coaches is my point here. Like, this is a lot of coaches for Kevin Durant in a very short window. This will be his fifth coach in 2 years. I think I have that right.
You're probably
right. It eventually will be, yeah.
Yeah, they went into the playoffs and absolutely stunk. They didn't have leadership throughout the roster, so you'd think that you need a really, really vocal coach, like somebody who runs that roster, like, because it's
they
unlikely.
Would really love Ty Lue, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Someone to hold them a little more accountable and maybe someone that they actually respect or whatever. Because maybe they will respect Bud.
Well, they really have to change the roster, and it's going to be extremely difficult because they can't just bunch guys together because they're into the second apron. They can't put more than one guy in a trade. They can't aggregate those numbers together. So they got to trade one guy for a really good defensive guy, like a top shelf defensive guy to be in their starting lineup to join those big three, or a great shot blocker, I guess, or a rim deterrent type of guy. Like, they need somebody like that.
It's hard to get that. It's gonna be hard. Trading Grayson Allen, he was awesome for you this year. Trading Jusuf Nurkić, he was about the healthiest he's been in his career in this series, or in this season. So, I don't know. I do think that the Suns will probably win more games in the regular season next year. Mike Budenholzer wins in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like, he had a 60-win season with the Hawks, had a 60-win season with the Bucks. Both of those teams were the number one team in their conference at certain points, so getting home court advantage, I think, is in the mix, perhaps, for Phoenix,
sure,
depending on the health of their guys. But it'll be a question mark come playoff time, and it'll come down to, can Durant and Booker hit contested twos?
Yeah.
And can they make enough threes? Yeah. That's the big thing. Budenholzer has to convince those guys to shoot more three-pointers. Kevin Durant should take 10 threes a game.
Yeah, probably.
But he's also like 18 years into his career, so good luck changing him.
It'll be tough. I do love that if Budenholzer gets this job, sounds like he's going to. We have 10 active head coaches that have won championships. So it's Pop, it's Kerr, it's Spo, Nick Nurse, Michael Malone, Rick Carlisle, Doc Rivers, Ty Lue. All those guys, for now, employed. Vogel had a championship with the Lakers in the bubble, and that left Bud as the only championship winner left on the board. But now he's slotted in there into Phoenix. So they have.
I think who else is hanging out?
Yeah, so they have a type here. They went with Vogel. He had a championship. Okay, that didn't work. Well, Bud's left. We can't get Ty Lue yet, so we'll go with Bud.
Phil Jackson.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on down.
Yeah. Right. So now, if Budenholzer is taking this job, there's only two spots left in the NBA, because the Hornets have their guy, which we can talk about in a second. The Wizards and the Lakers are the only two teams looking for a coach if Budenholzer is going to Phoenix. So,
probably in different markets, I'm guessing. For the coach they're
looking
hiring
at?
Yes.
Yeah, probably. All right, so the Boston Celtics lead assistant coach Charles Lee has agreed on a 4-year contract to become the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets. Lee will complete the Celtics playoff run, of course, before moving over to join the Hornets on a full-time basis. Charles Lee, an assistant name we have seen for years. Whenever there's a coaching vacancy, Charles Lee's name is on that list more times than not.
Right.
And he finally is going to get an opportunity here in Charlotte, 4-year deal.
And going back even further, he was Mike Budenholzer's assistant coach. And going back even further, I had no idea about this, but he played college ball at Bucknell. And then he went and played abroad a little bit, but he tried to make it with the San Antonio Spurs. He tried to play. Mike Budenholzer was an assistant on that bench for a training camp, and he saw Charles Lee play some basketball.
He's like, you're not good enough to play basketball, but man, you can coach him.
Well, he left and he came back, yeah, and then he was under Budenholzer's wing for 9 years with both the Atlanta Hawks and the Milwaukee Bucks. So good luck. Good luck to Charles Lee. In a tough situation, I would say, with Charlotte.
Tough. I mean, it's going to have a bit of a runway, you would think. You've got new ownership in there. You got new president of basketball operations, Jeff Peterson, who leads this sort of team, who they have a relationship, by the way, him and Lee, with the Hawks, actually. They were together there, so there's that. That makes some sense.
You better get a runway. Guy. Nobody has a runway, it feels like, in the NBA right now. But some teams do allow their coach to get that. And like Steve Clifford left this season, there was that one quote that Steve Clifford said, "We don't have the talent that the other team has. That's why we lost." And so they, you know, yes and no. A lot of guys are hurt, obviously, LaMelo. But the locker room ain't bubbling with goodness. That's for sure.
No. But look, they're 21-61. They're going to very likely have a top pick here in the draft again. You want LaMelo Ball to be healthy. Yeah. You obviously got to be excited at what you saw from Brandon Miller.
Yeah, he's great.
You do have other players that you could talk yourself into being like contributors, like Mark Williams and stuff like that. So you got something. but yeah, I mean, it's going to be, hopefully he's given 2 or 3 years to put an identity in here and given a chance at least. And I think he will.
Hiring an assistant to me shouts, we're developing right now. They're not trying to win. So I think he'll have a little bit of a runway as well, especially considering the relationships he has. Like you mentioned, he was an assistant with the Bucks on Budenholzer's staff when Jeff Peterson was there and as an executive, on the Hawks staff.
Yeah, yeah.
And Rick Schnall, an owner for the Hornets, was a minority owner for the Hawks as well. So clearly they like this guy.
Yeah.
They'll give him a chance here. Next thing the Suns the Hornets need to do, spend a lot of money on a training staff. You have to have LaMelo Ball healthy.
Yeah.
The guy can't be going out with an ankle injury every 2 months. He has to be on the court next season to see if him and Brandon Miller fit well together. And then the big thing for Charles Lee is the Hornets need some sort of an identity. Mm-hmm. Like, they got to be a fast-paced offensive team or a team that cares even a little bit on defense. They got to have something to hang their hat on. Even if they win 25 games next season, you can have a solid 25-win season if you look like a competent team that knows what their approach is going forward. So we'll see what Charles Lee is cooking up, because the guy's been in the mix for a lot of coaching jobs here. So you think he must have some sort of plans he wants to implement.
Yeah, he almost got the Wizards job in 2021. I think he was a finalist for that gig, but didn't get it ultimately and got overlooked a lot of times. But he gets a chance here in Charlotte. In other news, the NBA has suspended Bucks guard Patrick Beverley 4 games without pay for throwing a basketball multiple times at Pacers fans in the final minutes of Milwaukee's Game 6 elimination loss to Indiana, and after the game for inappropriate interaction with a reporter there from ESPN during media availability. 4 games for Pat Bev for all of this, for what he did at the end of the game with the throwing the ball at fans, and then how he just like so rudely interacted with ESPN producer Melinda Adams. Are you surprised at all, or thought it would be more severe or less, or what?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, we brought it up as soon as it happened and thought he is going to get suspended. I think the other lock here is that he's not coming back with the Milwaukee Bucks. That ain't going to happen. Oh. Even though from week to week we thought, yeah, Patrick Beverley is good for this team. They need a defensive point guard. They need attitude, but they don't need this. And apparently somehow Indianapolis police is investigating this as well. I don't know what that means exactly, because we saw what happened. It's clear he just threw a ball twice.
Is someone filing charges against him?
I don't
the woman
think
that got
so.
Hit? I mean, that's the only thing I could think
that's
of that you're actually
they
investigating.
Would look into,
why would they would look into it? Yeah. I don't think so. I think they just said, I'm interested. I don't know what's happening there. I have no idea. 4 games, is that the right amount? I guess it is the right amount. And it's definitely a reputation-based suspension as well. It's just Beverley.
What happens if he doesn't play?
It's definitely possible that Patrick Beverley's done.
Yeah.
He's been on 5 teams in the past 3 seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
And every team that has him is like, oh, you know, we can do a little better.
So okay, if
we could get another guy.
If he's done, he doesn't have to. I mean, what? I guess the league's not getting their money, right?
Great question.
Oh, yeah. There's
or
that.
I guess he's not getting his money because he wouldn't have a contract. Okay, yeah. Probably nothing happens. But just with the whole post-game media scrum thing, this was Beverly saying, you know, I'm not taking your questions. Do you subscribe to my podcast? No. Then get out of here, basically. Said get the microphone out of my face and eventually asked her to leave the interview circle. It was very weird. Apparently he's done this before. It's like, on one hand, you're like, is he joking? Like, is this just like, is he trying to be funny? Stupid. It's weird. He did apologize to Adams. She, you know, tweeted this and said that he called and apologized for it. But if he does sign, because he is an unrestricted free agent this summer, it would cost him about $90,000 if he signs on the, you know, the minimum contract, which is like $3.3 million are projected to be.
Wow. That's a lot of
money. What a sick-ass minimum, man. Yeah.
The minimum has changed since we started doing the show by a lot.
I haven't seen his podcast numbers, but I'll go out on a limb and say he's not making $3.3 million off the pod.
Yeah. Maybe he could make $90,000, though.
Oh, yeah. I believe that. Yeah.
Sure. I guess he maybe knew that this is his last basketball game in the NBA and said, I'm going to get my numbers up. I'm going to get a story going about my podcast. There's a possibility.
He's been suspended before between summers. This is the second time this has happened to him. Not for throwing a ball or anything like that. But he missed something. He missed a game at the start of a season. And I can't tell you which team it was or what happened. But
was it diving into Russell Westbrook's knee? No.
He was getting into it with somebody. Chris Paul? Did he get into it with Chris Paul at the end of a playoff game or an end of a series? There's something there. I'm 99% sure this is the second time. If he is on a roster, he won't be starting the season with that team.
Plus 5 points to you, though, for the instigator draft.
I had forgotten.
That's right, buddy.
Right. This is a bit of a technicality, this one.
Yeah, we might have to revisit it if he retires over the summer.
I was wondering, so I went into the stats yesterterday.
Okay.
I mean, if you do get the 5 spot.
Oh, come on. You got to give it to me. It happened during the game.
It did.
Like the throwing of the ball.
You think the Business News Network should get 5 points for that? That's your team name. Beverly, Niang, and Nurkic. Those are your guys. That would give you 7 points. You would get the lead because I went into mine because Tatum had a flagrant last night that he got charged with. He got hit with.
Yeah. Oh, right.
So 1 point for me. That's the teapot exchange. That's my team. Tatum, Portis, and Anthony Edwards. They had a tech rescinded, so I took that point off my roster. And I think your team, the Dogs Gone Wild.
Yeah.
That's a good team. Doncic, Gobert, and Wagner.
Yep.
Just 2 points, I think.
Yeah, just 2 Luka technicals so far.
All right.
Yep. So you would have 7.
I'm Skeets in the lead if 7. We're counting the Beverly suspension.
I would have 5. We got a race. All and right. then just 2 right now for Trey.
Yeah. Buddy's got guys left. He's got guys left. I mean, I'm starting to. My guys are dropping like flies. I guess I got Niang.
Oh yeah, that's all.
He got
your
point though. Before he went, he got out of the game.
He played his part. Played his part on his team.
He did good.
All right, keep us updated on that. I totally forgot about that. I didn't even know if it counted because it was like a weird one. Final piece of news. Bad news here for Knicks fans. OG Anunoby, he will miss Game 3 tonight of the second round playoff series against the Pacers with that left hamstring strain. The Knicks have not announced a timetable for his return. So it's not like, he'll be back later in the series. He'll be back even this postseason. Mm. We don't know. Obviously a tough loss because when OG plays, the Knicks are 26-5.
Unbelievable.
Since they got him from the Raptors on December 30th. But he's officially out. And Brunson, I think, is questionable. My gut says that guy plays. But
right.
You, after Game 2 and after those 2 first games in Madison Square Garden, you're saying, hey, look, hey, Pacers are still in this. This is going to be a series. And this helps their chances, of course, tonight.
Pacers are winning this game. I don't think there's any doubt.
Holy moly.
With the way the Knicks roster is breaking down right now, guy after guy after guy, they have won every game that they've played at home this postseason. They do have great hometown team. They are moving the ball like crazy. Obviously, they led the league in passes this year. They lead the league in passes in the playoffs. Everybody's getting involved. And I think all that, even before you talk about Jalen Brunson, would make the Pacers the favorite considering OG is out and just what he does defensively.
It's true.
Being everywhere and who they're going to fill in that spot with. That's a problem, and that's why the Indiana Pacers are 7.5-point favorites tonight. That's a big line for them to cover, but the recipe says they will, I do think.
And this injury, OG's injury, I mean, it has an impact on Game 3 tonight, possibly the series, but of course even like the Knicks moving forward. Like, he could be out. I have no idea if this is true, but this is OG we're talking about, and it didn't look good. He could be out for the postseason. Could be another guy the Knicks lose. And that changes, obviously, their chances of, you know, an Eastern Conference Finals or moving on to the Finals. Like, he's that important, as the record illustrates, and what he does defensively. And then, oh, yeah, the guy won him game two, really, with the 28 points, or, what, 24 in the first half? Whatever it was. 22, thank you. He was huge. He turned in Kawhi, 19. So, this is like, it just keeps getting, it's unbelievable. It's almost like a running bit at this point that the Knicks keep pulling it out, but they just have to lose a guy every time.
Yeah, two more injuries, and it's the perfect Tom Thibodeau team. Just five starters. That's all we need.
Yep.
You know, he thinks they have enough to win. But I'm with you, Tass. If the Pacers don't win Game 3, bad news Bears. It's going to be a gentleman's sweep if they don't win this one. And it's on Pascal Siakam. To me, he's got a juicy matchup here. They tried Josh Hart on Siakam when OG went out in Game 2, was able to score over the top of him, but didn't have it really going in the fourth quarter. Siakam hasn't scored 20 or more since Game 2 of Round 1.
Hmm.
He started hot against the Bucks, 36 and 37, I think. Since then, he's been in the teens, not totally involved in the offense, a little bricky at times, missed a couple of big free throws in the fourth quarter. And with Halliburton, you know, just as a 18-9 guy for the past 5 months, basically, it's got to be on Siakam to put the team on his back a little bit here, I think.
And I guess it's Precious Achiuwa that he'll be playing against, his old teammate. I guess that's who takes OG's spot. They don't really have many options.
No.
He comes into the starting lineup and can play a ton. You don't want to see him shooting the ball all that much. That's what they have left. And Miles McBride will be coming off the bench. They literally have six guys that they want to play.
What about Alec Burks?
He might get a sniff.
We might get some Alec Burks.
He's got to play. He's got to play at least to spell some guys.
Yeah.
And he was great when they got him immediately. I mean, he was good.
Yeah.
He can score. But now you got to play defense against this Pacers team for 48 minutes. Like, they are moving really, really quickly.
Yeah. Siakam needs to have a big, big game tonight to make this a little more interesting for sure this series and get a game three victory.
I think they're all going to score. I mean,
okay.
They should all score.
Getting a blowout tonight?
I think so.
Indy blowout? What you're saying?
It's hard to say that against the New York Knicks. We keep fighting.
The problem is more the defense. Like, the Pacers are getting lit up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was part OG, but I mean, I don't really think the Pacers are going to shut down the Knicks now just because OG's out. No. They've given up, what, 125 points per 100 possessions the first two games? That's way too many points.
Yeah. They've somehow run into a scorching hot Dante DiVincenzo, and now with the injury to OG, I mean, who has been good.
Yeah.
Jalen, like, I would say that I think the Pacers should be favorite. Bottom line, when you bring up those two guys, DiVincenzo and OG, but Jalen Brunson can't be 100%.
No.
But anyway,
we'll see. Okay, before we get to rapid fire, we forgot to do it last week, or we didn't do it last week, so let's do it this week. It's 5-Star Friday Reviews.
Oh, it's 5-Star Friday, one of the first Fridays of every month where we read five of your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, because apparently they help us with the rankings. We love rankings.
Yep.
Our first review comes from JD Quintanilla. It's titled, "Refreshing. Between game breakdowns, legacy discussions, and their genuine comedic relief, these guys' chemistry is once again on full display, just as great as it was on the starters. Classic podcast group, easy and enjoyable listen." Which is what I'm looking for every time I put headphones on.
Headphones, nice.
Look, that's just a straightforward, nice review.
Jesus.
Thanks, JD Quintanilla.
Appreciate that.
Yes.
I'm going to salute everyone today.
All right. It's a salute kind of day. Salute to you, JD. Our next review, Best Pod. This one's from Future the Rapper.
Nice.
Ooh, my word, is this podcast fantastic. It truly tickles me when I come home to a fresh, new, delicious episode from the boys. Keep it up. Became the number one pod of all time for me after Jalen Jacoby got canceled. Heard it here first. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Wow. Going back. He's saying after it got canceled.
Yeah.
But we were also on the same network as them at one point.
Yes, we were.
Grantland. Right?
Yep.
Yes, we were.
Or at least the drop was. Is that how we did it?
It was just once a week on Grantland.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
Salute to you.
Still potting, yes.
Yeah, salute to you. Salute to you. Our next one is from Wartfoot. Always 5 stars. Trey, can I get a follow back on Letterboxd? The username is Wartfoot. That's from Wartfoot. I'm not going to follow you.
Because his name's Wartfoot?
Nah.
Oh.
I don't really like following people on Letterboxd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I follow 2 people. Laura's cousin Luke and a guy I know named John.
Okay.
But if anybody else wants to follow Wartfoot, go for it.
I was trying to think what's the best movie about feet. Probably My Left Foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Footloose?
Ooh.
Also good.
Not specifically
Happy
about feet.
Happy Feet?
Oh, Happy Feet. Nice.
Happy Feet, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let me look up Wartfoot's following here. Let's see what some of their favorite movies are. Ooh, Ponyo. That's good. Oh, that's wait good. A second here. In his favorite films, or their favorite films, is The Fast and the Furious, the first one.
That sounds like he wow. may have just got yourself a follow from you.
Wow. The game has changed. Wow. Going back and watching all of the Planet of the Apes movies, huh, Wartfoot?
Well,
sicko.
Wow.
Absolute crazy man.
Salute to you, Wartfoot.
Salute to you, Wartfoot. People out there might follow you.
Could be it could be a bunion. You never know.
Could be a bunion. Hey, it could be a bunion. Salute. All right, our next 5-star review comes from Indigo Bunting. Stay for the basketball. Wait, come for the basketball. Stay for the chemistry. I have no idea how they make an hour of basketball talk every day so fun. I love No Dunks more than I love Marcus Smart, which is a lot. Speed cameras are good, though.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were. Was it you that were upset about speed cameras?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
Don't want a memorial.
Yeah, specifically that one.
That one, bottom of the hill.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it. I hate a speed camera on a hill. But look, we need them, especially in school zones.
Yep, and that's where it is.
Oh, but man, it's hard to go 25 miles an hour down a hill. It's so hard. I'm supposed to be riding my brakes.
It's very difficult.
Come on, me and Wartfoot? No way. We're watching Fast and Furious. You expect me to go 25 miles an hour? Unbelievable.
This guy's got a lead Wartfoot when he's driving.
Salute to you. Salute to you, of course.
Oh my God. Jesus, Murphy. This is long.
Okay, how do I pronounce this name here? Do DoorDash, it's better. Do DoorDash, it's better.
Yeah,
do DoorDash, it's better.
Do DoorDash is better.
Guerrilla marketing.
Because when you look at it, you see shit.
That's yeah, all I saw. Yeah,
I see. I see doo doo and shit. Better.
This is a review for you. Been listening for a year, and I must say, very good sirs. I think we're just good sirs.
Okay.
Gotta admit, my favorite person is JD.
Nice.
Love that he doesn't care about basketball, but yet spends his life making content for it.
Well, also, to be fair, I do get paid. But that's true. Sure.
Also brings an outsider's view of what sickos look like. On the basketball side, great pod. I'm constantly refreshing my Apple Pod app from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., waiting for the No Dunks guys to pop up. CA, which I assume means I'm in California.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, about noon Eastern, 9 a.m. West Coast time is when it drops. If I had friends, I feel like we would be friends. I went on playback for a guy and got a chuckle from you guys for a comment I wrote. It was like having my own highlight. Yeah, I don't have a lot going on.
I'm glad you said it.
But I do love basketball and love the content you guys send out. And I love that it's live and the random rabbit trails you guys go on are freaking hilarious. The one thing I will say is there's one person on the pod I do not care for. I won't state it here and let you guys guess. But for reals, I listen to the pod every day and tell the one guy I know about it all the time.
Damn. It's a good review. 5 stars. Thank you. Salute to you. But also, it might tear us apart. That comment.
It might tear us apart.
Now we gotta figure it out.
It ain't JD.
It's not JD. That leaves 3 other guys.
Yeah. And I'll say, do DoorDash, it's better. If it's me, and you know I'm reading this review, cruel. Cold stuff.
So you don't think it's you? Is that what you're saying?
No. My first inclination is it's me. I'm like, it's absolutely me. But you're making me read it?
Nah, he likes you. That was my inclination. It's all right.
You then?
Oh, yeah, it's me or you.
Oh, jeez.
For sure.
Jeez. All right.
That's all right. You gave him a salute there. Maybe you won him over.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Thanks to everybody
for
the 5-star reviews. Keep them coming. Like Trey said, it's one of the first Fridays of the month we read our 5 favorites. So thank you sincerely to everybody that does. Okay, before we go, some rapid fire fun. It's never quite that rapid. I've got the questions, you guys got the answers. First one, according to Collect Media, Sotheby's is set to sell NBA game worn jerseys in bi-weekly drops by way of like fixed price market by way of their fixed price marketplace. Excuse me. The first drop went live on Wednesday with a curated selection of 75 jerseys from players including Anthony Edwards, Steph Curry, and so on. The prices range from like $20,000, again, fixed price for one of these jerseys, I believe like a Curry, to $500. I think you can get a Denny Avdia for $500. I did take a quick look at it. I'm like, cool. All right. So my question is, and you don't need to really do jerseys or sports even if you don't want to, but what piece of memorabilia would you pay top dollar for?
That's quite the range that you said that. I didn't realize it was from $500 to 20 grand. It's like trying to buy a pair of Nike shoes. Like, that's a shoes thing that the NBA is trying to get into. I mean, the whole auctioning thing. Anyways, things have changed. Mine is a Connor Bedard hockey card. Why would I want that? Wow. Well, I won an NCAA tournament this past... I wasn't really in the tournament. I just won the pool. And so I won a cards, like, I don't know, 20 packs that get sent to me. And my man Fernando said, you're going to get a Connor Bedard card in there. It's probably going to be worth like $300. Oh, I said, wow, that is... Fernando, are you kidding me? That's how much it's worth? I looked it up. It was worth $300.
I didn't get it.
That's why I want one. What I did get a very artistic Connor Bedard card. It's hard to say Connor Bedard card right now. where he's dressed in this, what would you call this garment?
Looks like Sergeant Pepper.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It looks like it came over on the Mayflower.
Yeah, so I don't think that one's worth $300.
No, probably
and then
not.
There's another split card with him and Leo Carlson, but I don't think that one's worth $300. But he's a rook, obviously a top pick, so I'm looking for one of those.
Okay. What about you?
I do love the look of a framed jersey. Like, I think they look really cool when people have it, you know, like, in my man cave, I got all my cool jerseys hanging up. So I want one of Vin Diesel's game-worn tank tops from the Fast and Furious franchise. Mm. Frame it up the same way. Man, if he would throw in the necklace he's always wearing, the cross necklace.
Yeah, it's got to have the necklace.
I think it sort of does, too.
Yeah,
otherwise it's just a tank top.
I could easily just frame a white tank top. Yeah. Like, that's from Fast Five.
Yeah.
Remember that?
We have to believe you. Okay, good. What about you, JD? Where are you going?
I'm going into the history books. Winston Churchill wore a lot of hats, but I want this one.
Ooh.
Tall hattie. It's a bowler hat.
Yeah.
I just think it looks badass. Put it in a case. Stick it somewhere here in the classic factory.
We
got to bring these back.
Like a glass box, like you maybe put shoes in or something.
Yeah, exactly. Nice.
You want to bring those back?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd wear one of those around.
I could see you rocking that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
It's a little surprising that top hats have never had like a minor resurgence.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, you've seen people in driving caps. Fedora's had a big time moment.
Yep.
Even a pork pie hat people wear now and then.
So many hats, but not a top hat. That's
not a
true.
Top hat.
Yeah, it was weird.
Very, very strange.
It's so weird people aren't wearing top hats.
Just a little bit.
It is.
I mean, Slash was the last guy, right?
That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been 40, 30 years if you're being generous, at least.
Has any NBA player showed up rocking a top hat? Like, these guys wear the craziest crap. Like,
great point.
I can't picture one. Maybe somebody. Like, Halliburton should show up in a top hat. The things he's wearing.
He's got an old-timey look to him.
Yeah.
Do it. Okay. Top hat Tyrese.
Do it tonight.
Has a bowler done it? They are bowler hats.
Well, there's a bowler hat and there's a top hat.
Yeah, those are.
I'm more interested in the bowler, but a top hat, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a little more rounded, I guess. Yeah. A bowler. Yeah. Come on, Belmo.
Next one, Austin Rivers went viral this week when he claimed during an appearance on the Pat McAfee show that 30 current NBA players could play in the NFL and that 0 current NFL players could play in the NBA. That statement made a lot of football players quite mad, including former star J.J. Watt, who tweeted to Austin, basically to the world, quote, "You don't got a job in either right now. Go ahead and try it." Boom. Roasted. But I want to know. If you could be a pro athlete today, which sport would you choose?
Well, I just mentioned Jason Belmonte's name of bowling. I don't want to be a bowler.
Oh.
But he became the best, and then he became extremely popular. In a similar way, I want to jump on pickleball while it's still growing, obviously, a lot. But I want to become a pickleball superstar.
Wow.
While the growth of the sport happens.
Right.
And I also want to do it because selfishly, it hasn't been working for me as a sport. I signed up for 6 lessons. Why do I need lessons? And then I went there, and everybody is a lot older than me in these lessons.
Yeah.
We're just in the kitchen. We're not really moving much. And I went to one, and then it's like, I got other things to do. I never went back. Oh. I went to one, pickleball. I should have gone back. But it's like, I wasn't having fun. It was just a bad time, number one. Number two, I was literally the most athletic person out there, and I ain't that. I ain't a super duper athlete right now.
Yeah, but you're describing pickleball.
Yeah.
But if you're playing singles in pickleball,
that's hard. It's hard.
It's hard. You have a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm describing it because old people play it, but kids play it too. Like,
sure, everybody. It's a fun game.
Yeah.
I'll take you out, Tassie. I'll show you pickleball.
All right, you'll show me pickleball.
I mean, they start you dinking, which is like...
That's what we're doing. We're just dinking.
Weirdly, that's the most advanced part of the game.
Right.
Is dinking.
Yeah.
When you get down to dinking, that's when shit gets serious, right? Like, but most of the time, it's just like fucking whacking a ball back and forth on a small tennis court.
Yeah. That's what I want to do.
That's it.
I just want to whack it.
Well, there's too many people. Play with me because that's how I play.
Less dinking, more whack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brother.
Bring that dink over here. I want to whack it.
All right, TK, pro athlete today. What sport are you choosing?
I want to be a relief pitcher. Just hang out outside for like 30 hours a day. Every once in a while, they're like, go pitch to 3 batters. Eat some seeds the whole rest of the time. All of them look like scumbags.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yes. No fitness required.
So nice.
You're outside 95? Sure. Chuck it. Hey, throw a slider here, Matzik.
It's sort of like if you botch it too. Like, people care, of course, but no one really does. Because a lot of time you're coming in, there's already runners on base.
Exactly.
Like,
you're a rescue.
It's like, try your
you're
best.
The rescue
yeah.
guy. Yeah.
That's good.
It's like, do your best. Get out there. You work for an inning and a half, and that's it.
Yeah.
You never have to run. Unless there's a bench brawl, then you run.
You got a fake run.
You run to the infield, and then you're like, oh, man, I'm tired.
Good one. And JD, did Tass steal your answer here?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
No, F1 driver. Easy.
Oh, good.
Fucking thought of that immediately. I've been on a track twice, and not an F1 car, obviously, but basically a glorified go-kart, you know, with, you know, 4-5 speed or whatever.
Oh, that's
slamming
cool.
that clutch. Mm-hmm. There is nothing more fun than that. Literally nothing more fun. Even if you're in the back of the pack, just to do a couple of laps in an F1 race,
can you
fucking imagine? Oh, my God. It's so fun. So, yeah, F1.
Okay. Great answers, guys.
That'd be awesome.
Final one. Believe it or not, the 2024 NBA Draft Lottery will be held this Sunday, May 12th, at 3 p.m. Eastern on ABC. That's right, Sunday. This is usually a Tuesday night thing, but we're doing it on Sunday, which is Mother's Day. So 2 teams have the best odds for the number one pick. It's the Pistons and it's the Wizards. They got a 14% chance each, and then the teams following them are pretty close to that as well. But why wait until Mother's Day? Guys, tell me, who is going to win the 2024 draft lottery? Tass.
I kind of want the Washington Wizards to win. Mostly because I'm interested to see the dynamic between a guy who is a number one pick and Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma, who kind of want to be number one players. Like, how's that going to play out? That's what's interesting about that team to me. And to just help that team out, because I mentioned those guys. Those are the 1-2. And Denny Avdia, who had a good year. Mm-hmm. Those are their top 3. They need some serious help. It's the capital city of this country. Get better. Just get better.
They probably will win it, too, because, you know, by all accounts, this is not like, oh, there's a surefire number one franchise guy. And they seem to win the number one pick when that's the situation. Kwame comes to mind.
John Wall was a pretty big star.
John Wall was pretty good. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Did they have Never Nervous Purvis?
They did, yeah.
Number one pick, yeah. Anyway, they probably will win it. That's my point. Okay, Wizards.
It definitely feels like for a team that absolutely needs a number one star, getting the number one pick in a role player draft.
That's what I mean.
That would be perfectly Wizards.
Yeah. Okay, so you're going Zards. What about you, Trey?
They only have a 7.5% chance of winning the draft lottery, but it's on Mother's Day, so I'm going with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Okay, wow. That would be huge to them. Honestly.
Oh, man, yeah.
We think they'll already
They could
be
use
really
an
good.
Awesome role player.
Yeah?
They
yeah.
could use a wing. Matas Buzelis.
Okay, we got the Zards, and we got the Grizzlies. JD, who's winning the draft lottery?
It's going to be a Mother's Day miracle. Light the beam. It's going to the Kings.
Whoa.
They have barely any chance. I think it's less than, what is it, 3% chance?
Must be. It's got to be 1.9%
chance.
Okay. It's happened before.
But it's happened before, and it's going to happen on Sunday.
We're going to light the beam. Yeah. A Mother's Day
Do you
miracle.
Think they would light the beam if they got the number one
they
pick?
They should.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, yeah, I think they would.
0.8% chance.
Oh, that yeah. might, that'd be the lowest ever. Yeah. That'd be the lowest ever. Yeah. Wow. JD is calling it a shot.
Yep.
Mother's Day miracle. I love it.
I don't know who's going to win. I'll leave that to you guys, but I will say this. I'll talk this into existence, that the Toronto Raptors are going to get the number three pick. Okay. We the North, baby. We the North. We the North get number 30 pick.
I saw those percentages that you shared from, I guess it was a Raptors account, that they basically can have a number 1, 2, 3, or 4 equal amounts.
Yeah, it's like 9% or a little
for each.
Bit more. Yeah.
I don't know. I just saw the math,
I think
and I like
that. It's
the
third pick, yeah. man. Yeah. I'm telling you. They're going to keep it, and they're jumping up there. And big news in Toronto that we learned this morning. They are getting a professional women's basketball team in Toronto. CBC Sports are reporting that Toronto billionaire Larry Tannenbaum and his group, they've been granted an expansion franchise in the WNBA. So the announcement's going to come in a couple weeks in Toronto, and the team will, in theory, be playing in May 2026.
Ready to do it, Larry.
So we'd love to do it, see it.
This is awesome.
What's the most popular movie right now? You know, Toronto Ooh. Raptors, named after Jurassic Park.
Toronto Furiosas.
Oh, that's a cool name.
Sounds actually badass.
Yes. I assume it's going to be popular.
The movie.
Yeah.
Oh, really? What have you thought of the trailers?
I didn't watch any trailers.
Oh. What's his name in it?
Chris Hemsworth. Yeah.
Something. I don't know. It's not hitting for me.
He looks like he's being extra extreme in this one.
Yeah, and maybe that's the whole thing. Like, you know, over the top. I guess it is.
I'm excited.
All right.
Yeah? You're going to go see it?
No, but I'll watch it at home.
I got to see it in the theater.
JD, man.
Come on, man.
Look, I got two kids who are 9 and 7.
Can't take that.
I'm not going to take that. Yeah, but yeah, when I get enough. A babysitter, I want to hang out with my wife.
Yeah,
you know?
Fair enough.
I want to talk to her.
Yeah. I'm taking my teenage kids to
Yeah, see, that's nice. That's nice.
Okay, sure. Enjoy it.
Toronto Furiosa.
What?
Toronto Challengers.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that either. A lot of movies.
It sounds like a team name.
It does. Yeah.
It'll be a weird one to name them after.
What else is coming at this? The Deadpools. I don't know.
There's a big theory. You hear the big theory, just to bring it back to pickleball quickly. Challengers about tennis.
Yeah.
Big Tennis wanted this movie to
bring
get
it
a
back.
Little bit more of the buzz big back tennis. To tennis because pickleball's all the rage.
Nice.
Yeah, well, you know where threesomes are pretty common? The pickleball court, Tassie.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
all
man.
That dinking and whacking.
Whacking and dinking.
Interesting threesome. You're going there, but hey, no judgment.
You got me in. You got me.
All right, guys. That's rapid fire, not so rapid. Hopefully that was another classic, but you tell us by leaving us a review on the podcast platform of your choice or hitting the like button, subscribe, and sharing the show. If it's a classic, that helps us out. Thanks for joining us live, though. We'll be back on Monday. I guess there's 6 games total this weekend. 2 tonight, 2 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday. We got the draft lottery, so lots to talk about come Monday morning. We'll see you here in the Classic Factory at 10 a.m. Eastern. Until then, Clipper Bro!
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Matas Buzelis, who's getting drafted this year, we watched him play the College Park Skyhawks, one of the G League Ignite members. He's a Lithuanian. Again, another Lithuanian in the league. I do think Jonas Valanciunas' father is like his physiotherapist or something, like his trainer. Yeah, there's some connection there. I can't wait to get some more about it. I think he told Shams about it. Anyways, cool story.
I'll tell you right now, that guy that wrote into yesterday's Beach Steppin' did not predict you were going to say that at the end of the show. Embrace the weekend, people.